Top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind the Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
You will die only to live again in a younger body. Then you can tell me if the operation was a success. I could easily kill you now, but I'm determined to have your brain.
You're listening to the Really Awful Movies podcast, a celebration of genre cinema. From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 436 of the Really Awful Movies podcast, Primal Rage. Now, the horror world that we inhabit is so friggin' nuts. I believe this could be the fourth or fifth Rage-titled horror film that I've ever seen. The others being, well, I don't know if I can even name them, but Blood Rage, if I'm not mistaken, might have been a Thanksgiving horror involving some sort of, I think, a twin who stabs his brother. The details are a little hazy. But there's also The Rage, which is about, of all things, predatory vultures, which is weird because vultures eat carrion. So that was another crazy flick. Well, Primal Rage is one of these something untoward escapes from a lab type movies. No China jokes here, folks. This is a subset of horror that can be bifurcated into two. There's, on the one hand, you have something that causes an animal to go nuts and escape, and in the other scenario, which a Primal Rage involves, is an animal that transmits something to a human. So a zoomorphological or zoological, zootropic transmission, whatever it's called. I can't tell, but these are all very, very fun. And as someone who worked in a lab in university, I really appreciate this kind of conceit. And also as someone who really appreciates and really sinks their teeth into body horror, it's something I really like as well. You gotta love mad scientists. You gotta love animals run amok in whatever capacity. This is a style of film I really love. And this one is from the late 80s. And it follows the template that David Cronenberg established in Rabid, where you have something happening in a lab and then it breaking out to the broader community, if you will. And it's something maybe the likes of Outbreak would have explored. There's tons of movies that occupy this milieu, and it's super fun because you get to have your cake and eat it too. The cake involving animals run amok, which they do very briefly, but also transmission to humans, and they're running amok too. And so this one is super fun with the added bonus, do tell, of the big hulking Swede Bo Svensson wandering into the proceedings and just making everything instantly better by his presence. Obviously Svensson, he was in Kill Bill 2, Walking Tall, he's unmistakable, he's so great. Maybe here not so much, with a mini ponytail looking utterly fatuous and silly and hilarious. But also in, for fans of the Really Awful Movies podcast, a ridiculous shaggy dog creature feature film from the late 70s that Jeff and I, when he was a co-host, had a lot of fun with called Snow Beast. And we urge you to check out that one. I believe Svensson played a professional skier, if I'm not mistaken, which is quite ridiculous because the guy's about 6'6", and I think there's definitely a diminishing returns when it comes to height on the slope. Anyway, Primal Rage, what a super fun film, and it takes us to, I believe, Florida International University, some institute of higher education in the Sunshine State, and this is the 80s, you know, pumped up to the max, dialed up to 11 a la Spinal Tap. This is so 80s. There's a montage at the beginning with leotard dancing and a scooter driving around with a photographer taking photos of chicks with teased hair and their butts and their glutes and gyrating and shaking, and 80s pumped to the max, a cocaine-infused lunatic feature that Jeff texted me and said he believes that Umberto Lenzi, the Italian gut muncher director, actually, I believe, co-wrote this one. I haven't checked that, but it would make a lot of sense because this one shares a lot stylistically with other Florida-lensed Italian horrors, maybe something like The Last Shark or maybe A Nightmare Beach or one of these things. Just a nutty, batshit mental movie that is just wild on all fronts. It reminds me a little bit of Chacma, but you could throw in something like this kind of a more tongue-in-cheek, over-the-top version of A Monkey Shines, but there's others like maybe the Crazy Cat film Uninvited, or the Lance Henriksen Crazy Dog lab film Man's Best Friend. This one really crosses species boundaries, but typically in one of these mad scientist lab type scenarios, what you have is something from the simian family. So Dr. Etheridge is played by Bo Svenson, and he's working on a synthetic protein that is hopefully, in his eyes, going to ameliorate, I guess, neurological disorders such as Alzheimer's, but he mentions a bunch of other ones as well. And he's hard at work and testing out this protein on a monkey. The monkey, of course, goes, well, can we say apeshit, and bites someone. And of course, well, with many of these movies, what you have to get the ball rolling is a bunch of typically animal rights activists who break into the lab. Not so with this. And this is another reason this warmed my heart too, in addition to casting my mind's eye back to being a lab assistant back in university days working in the neuroscience realm. But my current role as a journalist, so it warms my heart here that we see a journalist named Frank, who goes by his surname, which escapes me right now, but we have this campus, I guess he fancies himself a gonzo journalist, a la the likes of Gay Talese or Hunter S. Thompson or one of these characters, or like a Tom Wolfe or something, whose book, A Man in Full, is actually propping up my microphone right now as a little aside. But yeah, it's funny, like the new journalism that was spawned in the 70s, in which journalists put their imprimatur on stories rather than having a dispassionate, kind of distanced outlook on a particular one. It was something that really informs this character, and he throws himself into the proceedings and sees himself as this Woodward and Bernstein of the, co-ed undergrad set. And he's, you know, writing for the paper and got this hard-bitten, hard-drinking, snarky attitude. And it's weird. It's when I think back to my own college J-school experience, which I did after undergrad in science, I didn't even write for the paper. I was so disenchanted and in a weird mind space that it almost shocks and surprises me that I'm a journalist today, like so many years later, because I did not have the aptitude for it. I did not have that ability to sniff out stories in the way I do now, and I was a way more passive personality. And I just fancied myself a decent writer, and that's what got through me through university. So I figured, well, writer, you either go into PR or you go into journalism. But this character here is so snarky and so caustic with his wit, and it slams the jocks at this Florida university, but also calls out some of the bimbos, I believe, or hookers, in his words, of some of the courtesan-like babes and sorority babes whose existence is integral, if 80s horror movies were to be believed, to the undergrad experience and to the frat and Greek experience that a lot of these movies really focused on. And you could throw in the likes of A Fatal Games. There's so many movies that had, well, Sorority House Massacre, so many that focused on campus horror as their reason for being. Well, he's the guy who's investigating all sorts of different stories, one of which is the mysterious goings-on at this Dr. Etheridge's lab. So he tries to conscript, I guess, his buddy, who I believe might be his roommate as well. And again, the names escape me here, but the other star of this film, and tries to say, hey, listen, let's just bust in. No one will be the wiser, and see what we can dig around. So he's not one to sit around and passively accept press releases, but he does digging in the journalistic sphere, breaks into the lab, tries to take a photo of this what looks like quite a rabid monkey, and sees if he can get to the bottom of Dr. Etheridge's research. It looks, I think it's a baboon in this case, so, which is why I drew a parallel with the slow burn and fun in its own right horror film Chacma. So he goes a little too close to the cage, as is par for the course, and sure enough, he gets bitten, and whatever it was that afflicted this monkey, however it was reacting or creating antibodies to whatever protein it had, well, you know, soon enough, this poor journalist is frothing at the mouth and starts to develop these welts and sores and open wounds. And I got to say, the practical effects in this one are actually quite good and quite spirited. And as is the cast of characters here. So you have a brainiac, a woman by the name of Debbie, who shows up all her male engineering classmates with her amazing knowledge of trigonometry, and a super interesting, smart, engaging character with whom this journalist guy has a date and they hit it off. So this is very character driven, and it's just, it's funny how things have changed over the course of like 30 or 40 years from the fun and spirited freewheeling kegger type campuses to the more dour, serious, activist driven campuses we see today, where you can't really imagine anyone having any kind of fun whatsoever without it running afoul of some sort of bureaucratic campus guidelines. But this one, and this one is also way over the top too, because the jocks are quite menacing in a way that seems unrealistic as well. So rather than being guys who would crush cans against their foreheads and basically just hurdle themselves down a flight of stairs with a mattress or do some sort of ridiculous leap off the top of the frat house into a pool, they are really like gangsters and bullies as well. And you'd think this is the kind of thing that would be out of your system by the time you're 18, 19, 20 years old or whatever the principles are. So you have this group of characters, and there's lots of weird references, and we're going to segue into what we learned here too, where this is kind of a smartly written, if odd, movie at times. There's references to And Justice for All, the Al Pacino vehicle, and there's some references to, I think, prominent journalists. There's pop culture references galore in this thing, and some of the characters are actually unabashedly smart, which kind of stands in stark contraindication to some of the stupid, silly moments in this film, too, where, again, these menacing, ravenous, sexually rapacious jock frat guys are just on the prowl in their convertible, just looking for victims. It's a very, very strange movie, and again, as is par for the course with this kind of thing, you have a mad scientist type character who doesn't want his research jeopardized. And you have this funny scene, again, segueing into what we've learned, where a dean gives this researcher, played by Bo Svenson, 60 days to come up with some breakthrough in his research, or the funding will be cut. I mean, that is really not how universities work. But I thought it was a pretty fun touch to have, how, like, why would the dean just give him a weird 2-month timeline? No, it's just the funding has a 1 to 2 year, calendar. And if the people who provide the funds don't care for how the research is progressing, they just don't renew it. And then when, you know, a fund application or a grant application needs to be made, they just will ignore it going forward. It's so funny. There's so many just great moments too. Again, where you have this journalist biting the Debbie character on the neck, and other characters referencing what could or it really doesn't look like much of a hickey. And soon, however, Debbie is bitten and starts behaving in a ravenous, rapacious manner as well, a la the Cronenberg film Rabid. And soon you have a bunch of bodies piling up in this university, and soon the campus paper is going to have something a little more meaty to report on, rather than some, you know, shutting down of some Halloween party or God knows what. As it should be said too, that this is a movie that takes place around Halloween, and it has a rather carnival, New Orleans style party that they're throwing that looks super fun, and it looks like something that you'd really, really want to attend if that is your thing. I mean, this is a kind of a spirited movie, really crazy, really over the top, really wild. The roommate of this journalist character, who's also a journalist, tearfully bemoans how he's gotten into university through some sort of scholarship, but now he doesn't really cover anything that's particularly meaningful. Well, sure enough, he finds himself at the center of a murder investigation and involving his best friend as a suspect. So Again, just a super fun, super wild movie on so many fronts, and just a great use of the scenescape too, in this, you know, sort of 70s, 80s style modernist, brutalist campus, cast of characters who comprise really a bunch of unknowns, and you know, whose faces and headshots are all that uniform gray when you look them up on Amazon Prime. That's with the exception of obviously Bo Svenson, who's quite an icon in his own right. But I don't mind when you see that, because the performances are actually quite game, despite the fact that these are soap opera nobodies in large part. But that sort of adds to this film's low budget, kind of indie DIY punk rock sensibility. I had a lot of fun with this one in a way that I really shouldn't have, but for some reason it just keeps you on the edge of your toes. There's so many neat set pieces. There's this clandestine lab. There's all sorts of lunacy happening, and all sorts of just over the top, like the 80s vomited out onto the screen. You're going to have fun with this one as well. It's super hard to give this one a star rating, because, I mean, my particular predilections and biases come to the forefront as someone who really loves animal attack, viruses run rampant type movies. So I'm going to give this an extra star than what you might realistically give it. But this is a batshit, bonkers, wild movie. Again, in the style of an Uninvited, although way wilder, I think. Man's Best Friend, all these types of just nut bar movies that are just so much fun to take in, especially now around Halloween in the fall, is really the prime time and the best time to engage with horror films of all stripes, really. Hope you enjoy the show. Talk to you soon. Take care. Thank you.